And so we talked about how everything flows from our heart, our conversations, the things that we say, everything from the words that come out of our mouth, the way we respond, how we forgive, how we show grace to other people. And today won't be as difficult, but I think it connects with every single one of us in this room, regardless of where you are in your walk. We always have voices. Now, I'm not talking like you need to go to the hospital voices. I'm talking about the lies that we hear around us on a constant basis. The world that says if you achieve the greatest position at work, you'll have everything that you need and want. But we find that those feelings actually cause more anxiety in our life. I've learned that the less that I have, the less anxious I am. Living a simple life causes me to have less anxiety because I'm not spinning all those plates that we talked about. And so this week, we're going to talk about in Philippians 4:6, Paul gives us this amazing strategy on how to navigate these thoughts. And so in Philippians, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Who has some anxiety today? Anybody? Who struggles with anxiety? Anybody? It's okay. We're in a safe place here. I personally don't struggle with it until I understand what it is. Then I'm like, oh man, I'm really messed up. I got anxiety. Let me tell you this, before I even finish this scripture, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you've learned or whatever you received or heard from me, which is Paul, or seen in me, put these things into practices. God of peace will be with you. Who needs a little bit of that today? So we're in week two of this thing that we have called the guardrails. It's called staying the course. Life has a way of pulling us off course all the time, right? Even when it's not our fault or somebody else's fault, life has a way of pulling us in an area of our life where we don't have a guardrail set. And I use guardrails. Think of it as boundaries. Think of it as healthy ways to live a life that protects you from other people's not having boundaries or guardrails. Because other people don't have guardrails. Other people just run around willy-nilly and doing all this stuff and saying all these things, and it just causes chaos around them. And they try to pull you into their lifestyle or their life that's not set with good, healthy boundaries. So the battle for your life is lost or won in your mind. It starts in the mind. If you don't guard your thoughts will guard you. And I mean not in a good way whatsoever. They'll box you in a prison of anxiety, fear, and doubt. But when you establish a mental guardrails rooted in God's word, you can experience freedom and peace. So today we're going to talk about how to have these guardrails that's going to allow us to be able to filter through things that God wants for us and that God's trying to protect us from. You know, we can very easily sometimes say, well, God wants me to do this, and because he says he wants me to do this, I'm inside of his will, but do you really know what you're hearing is from God? Just in that statement alone brings anxiety and anxious thoughts. And we're going to break that down. But before I can break that down, have you heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out? It means the quality of the input determines the quality of your output. Garbage in, garbage comes out. And we fill our minds all the time. We fill our bodies with the wrong fruit, the food. We read the wrong things. We watch the wrong news channels. Because I guarantee you, if you look hard enough, you'll find some news about everything that is going good, not everything that goes bad. But we watch the wrong news. We hear the wrong people speaking. We want to know what's going on in the world. Like, instead of watching about all the fires that's going on in California, I found myself this morning finding all the volunteers who stepped up to do something about it. Donating food and clothing and all these volunteers doing all this stuff. Those are the things I want to feed myself with. You know, we put these negative and harmful, low-quality content into our lives. That's the garbage coming in. And what does it produce? Negative, harmful, low-quality results. The garbage out. Jesus says this before he even heard that phrase. He said in Matthew 12, 34 and 35, he says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." This isn't anything new. This has been, Jesus talked about this 2,000 years ago. This has been a life struggle for all people of all generations. And why is that? It's because at the very, very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were, it's part of the fall. They were scared. And they were fearful, and they put figs on, and they hid from God. This is part of that process. This is part of the fall, the brokenness of the human nature, is the things that come out of our mind, our anxiety, our fear, our the way we see ourselves, because our identity is louder in our minds than what God says about us sometimes. They're toxic thoughts, and these toxic thoughts turn into toxic actions. Let me put it this way. You can't plant weeds in your mind and expect a harvest of fruit. You can't harvest a life of peace if you're planting weeds in your garden. If you don't deal with those toxic, bitter, negative thoughts, they'll show up in our words, our relationships, and even in our choices. So the question is, what is running your mind today? What is running wild in your mind? What thoughts have you allowed to, you know, the squatters, you know what squatters are? They go into the abandoned buildings. What thoughts have you allowed to squat in your mind? Rent-free. Dragging you down and holding you back and sabotaging your peace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, he says, "We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Well, you got to notice, Paul didn't say, let the thoughts do whatever they want to do in your mind. He doesn't say that. He didn't say ignore the toxic stuff and hope that it goes away. No. He says take captive every thought. That's battle talk. That's fight mode. It conveys an idea of seizing or securing something as a soldier would capture an enemy or a combatant. And in this verse, it's that enemy that we're trying to take captive isn't a foe. It's not a person. It's not a thing. It's the rebellious thoughts in our minds. And these rebellious thoughts oppose what God says. Paul is saying you can't just let your thoughts run wild and expect to have a mind of peace. You've got to grab those rogue, lying, negative thoughts and slap some handcuffs on them. Take them captive. You make them bow to the truth of God. They don't make you bow to their thought process. You make them bow to what God's truth is and what God says. So how do we do this? We got to replace that garbage in with truth. It's not just enough to stop thinking about bad thoughts. You've got to replace them with better ones. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Man, there's a whole list of things I could give you right now, just thinking in my own mind about things that go on. See, when we do this part, this is when things start to change. This is when transformation happens. When you replace worry with worship, bitterness with gratitude, lies with truth, you're not just changing your mind, you're changing your heart also. If you want to change the output of your life, you've got to start with the input. The garbage in, the garbage out becomes grace in, growth out. It's time to stop letting the world feed our thoughts and start feeding our spirit with God's word. You want to fix all of your anxiety? Just start reading the Bible. Because you're going to find even in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, all these people who struggle with these things. And what do? They lean into God. When things aren't right, you don't run from God. You lean into God. But those thoughts are telling us lies, saying, well, God's mad at you. Or you messed up. You fill in the blank. What's one thing that you can stop consuming this week? Let's make it personal. What's one thing you can stop doing today to practice this? Take one thing out of your life and replace it with something that God says. There is never going to be a perfect time to practice this. It just has to become a lifestyle. Now is a time that we need to start detoxing our minds. Detox, flushing out, getting rid of all the negative thoughts, all the negative things that the world says and that people say about us and what our wives might say or our husbands might say or our kids might say. We need to flush those things out and know that God has a solution. He has a better thought process in our lives. But we got to understand these anxious thoughts, though. Because in Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. What does that even mean? Well, I can tell you, I remember God gave me an opportunity to share my testimony in front of 3,000 people at a huge conference. And I'm like, I'm all like, yeah, I can do this, until about an hour before I had to do it. Now I'm like, I'm going to move. I'm going to throw up. I don't think I can do this. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to mess everything up. God, do you really? You can't be talking about me. You don't want me to do this. The pain, the fear, the everything that I was experiencing. You know what I thought about? Because I don't really struggle with anxiety that bad. But in that moment, I felt sorry for the person who does. Because I go, if somebody really struggles with anxiety and this is what they feel like all the time, my heart breaks for them. Because I felt it and it was not good. I said it this way, that our anxious thoughts, sometimes they're a tight knot in our stomach. They're the heaviness in our chest, the fear of uncertainty, and the constant chatter in our minds that won't let go. And they ruminate with no end. Ruminate, Pastor Jeremy. What do you mean by that? Ruminating thoughts. I thought I had to break that down because one of my friends years ago talked about ruminating, and it rocked our worlds. Ruminating thoughts refer to those persistent, repetitive thoughts that loop over and over and over, and they're often negative. Worries, fears. It's like your brain is stuck on replay, analyzing the same situation or concern without resolution. When combined with anxiety, your ruminating thoughts and your anxiety, this voice can be so overwhelming and it amplifies your feelings of stress and unease in the situation. Some of those tapes of, that keep replaying over and over again might be, you ready? You don't have to raise your hand. Or you can just leave them up the whole time. I had to do a long search on to figure out what these thoughts would be that would relate to us. Replaying embarrassing moments. You keep going over something that you said, cringing and thinking, why did I say that? Everyone must think that I'm awkward. You ever been that person? You imagine the worst case scenario. Your mind jumps to the most catastrophic outcomes, like if I mess up on this project, I'll lose my job. Or then I won't even be able to pay my bills. You think the worst case scenario at the end. You overanalyze conversations. You dissect every word that somebody said, wondering, what did they really mean by that? Are they mad at me? Did I offend them? Anybody else? You second guess. I know a lot of people on this one. You second guess your decision. You made a choice, but you can't stop thinking. That you can't stop thinking. What if I choose the wrong path? What should I have done differently? Am I talking to you guys? I see all the heads moving up and down. You blame yourself for things when they're out of control. You feel responsible for situations that weren't even your fault. Was it for the codependents out there? You're thinking, if I had just tried a little bit harder, this would have never happened. The constant what ifs. The constant what ifs. Your mind is stuck on a question like, what if I get sick? What if I fail? What if they don't like me? What if this or what if that? Sometimes we focus on our personal flaws. You zoom into your own insecurity, thinking, I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough for this. You sometimes might even anticipate rejection and disappointment. You already say, I've already been hurt so many times, it's just natural in my life. It's just going to happen because that's been the pattern of my life. You assume the worst in relationships, thinking they probably don't even want me around. And eventually they'll just let me down anyway. So why even try? The comparison game. You compare yourself to others. You scroll through social media. You think about what someone else's success, saying, why can't my life look like theirs? I'm never going to measure up. Some of us have fear of letting others down. What if I disappoint my family or my friends or even God? There's more. Mentally rehearsing arguments. I'm ready. I don't even know what this message or what this argument's going to be about, but I already know what I'm going to say. It's not funny. You prepare for conflict that hasn't even happened yet. You're thinking, if they say this, I'm going to respond like that. Yep. Some of us feel trapped by shame. You keep reliving past mistakes, thinking, I'm never going to get past this. God must be disappointed in me. We overlooked simple decisions. You spend an hour deciding on something small, like, should I send this email now or should I wait? And what if it comes across the wrong way? And you believe the lies about your worth. You hear a voice saying you're never going to change and you're never going to be good enough. On top of all of those things, that's what an unbelieving person that doesn't believe in Jesus struggles with. Those anxious thoughts. But us Christians, we take it to a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level. It's not just about the bills and the deadlines. It's about, am I living God's will in my life? Am I trusting his plan? And am I following him? Am I failing him somehow? We wrestle with the guilt and the shame that we fear that we're letting God down. And here's the truth. If you feel that way, guess what? You probably were never lifting God up. You don't hold him up. He holds you up. We wrestle with guilt and shame and fear that we're letting God down. Our anxiety builds until we're frozen. We're too scared to take another step. But this is not God's plan for our lives. We got to get the garbage out so the grace can come in. And here's the good news. God never intended us to navigate life like this either. That's why he speaks about it in his word. He gave us this word as a clear, unwavering guide. It says in Psalms 119, 105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. And he also doesn't stop there. He gives us his Holy Spirit to direct us. Isaiah 30, 21, I quoted it last week. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He's saying, redirecting. Your GPS is going off and redirecting you. The GPS isn't screaming and mocking you and telling you you went the wrong way. He's saying, redirecting. I'm telling you which way to go. God's will isn't some unmarked journey he expects us to figure out on our own. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't leave us to our own ways. We know the results of those things, right? It's not a test where he's waiting for you to fail. It's a path where he's already tried to prepare for you one step at a way. He's already preparing a way for you. You just got to walk in it. Because it says in Psalms 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Not ordered by you. These anxious thoughts and this anxiety thrives in these gaps of our life between what we believe about God and how we respond to life's challenges. They live in between those gaps. But God doesn't leave us stuck in these gaps. He gives us a strategy to close them. Again, in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, it says, the battle plan is to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We have the power to replace these negative thoughts. God doesn't just tell us to stop worrying. He doesn't tell us to stop worrying about these things. Because I know from a mental health standpoint, it's like trying to tell somebody who has depression to stop being sad. It doesn't work. It's no different than telling a person sinking in quicksand to stop sinking in quicksand. It doesn't work. God shows us exactly how to replace those anxious thoughts with something better. And Philippians 4, 6 through 9 is our guide to not pretending everything is fine. We don't slap a fake smile on our face, say, hey, everything's fine. How are you today? No. He's not telling you to hide your anxiety. He's asking us to replace it. That's where the power is. Every time you follow God's process, you're not just getting through the day. You're rewiring your mind for peace to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me say that again. You're rewiring your mind for the peace by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. So how do we do this? We're going to go right through what Paul tells us to do. He gives us the battle plan. The first one, replace anxiety with prayer. I know we talk about prayer all the time. I know that prayer is the heart of a Christian belief, our relationship with God, our speaking to God. But when's the last time you really got into the presence of God, into your prayer closet saying, you know what, God, man, I am struggling with this specific thing. I don't know what to do about it, but I trust you and you do. I don't even know what words to use right now. I just need your help. Because here's what I know. I know when Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on water and he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink in the water, and Jesus comes up and you see the pictures of his hand in the water. And Peter's saying, Lord, help me. I believe those are Jesus' favorite words. Lord, help me. Maybe that's all you need to do, all you need to say. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in some situations, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Break this down. Worry is a thief. It steals your peace, your joy, and your focus. But prayer is the exchange. You take your worry to God and he gives you the peace. Replace the worry with peace. He's the only one who can do that. Let me say it like this. Have you ever worried yourself out of a situation? Here's the other part. Most things that I worry about never even come true. I have wasted a lot of energy worrying about something that doesn't even come true most of the time. Nor have I ever worried myself out of a situation. Jesus says, in Matthew 6, 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I'm going to go even a little further past Jesus. I think worry steals your life. I believe worry and fear is probably one of the most unhealthiest things that you can do. Physically, mentally, emotionally, is one of the worst things that you can do. You know, worry is not trusting God enough. Let's just say it that way. When you worry, you're not even putting your faith in God. You're not putting your trust in him. You've got to worry. You're going to worry yourself out of this. Worry is like trying to drive your car with the emergency brake on. You're not moving anywhere, but you're wasting a lot of energy. But prayer is a game changer. Prayer doesn't ignore the problem. We're not trying to ignore the problem. It repositions us to see a solution. It's not about fixing it. It's about fixing our focus. Prayer is your declaration. It's saying, God, I trust you more than I trust my fear. God, I trust you more than I trust my worry. God, I trust you more in the things that I don't understand. And they will not have any cap. I will not have those captive thoughts in my life any longer. I submit them to you. And every time we pray, we're building something, a habit. Because remember, we talked about replacing bad things with good things. You learn to build new habits, a new rhythm in your life, a new way of thinking. You're not just talking to God, you're turning your heart to peace. Prayer changes things. But more importantly, changes you. It allows you to put your dependence where it's supposed to be. Principle, my second principle, gratitude. We got to have gratitude. He doesn't just stop in the prayer. He's saying, when you bring your request to God, do it with thanksgiving. And you ask why? Because gratitude isn't just good manners. Thank you. It's a game changer. Gratitude is a weapon. When anxiety tries to keep you focused on what's wrong, gratitude shifts your focus to what's right. Because in our worry and our anxious thoughts, all we can see is what's wrong. We can't see what's going good. We have to have a heart of gratitude. We have to change the way that we think. Gratitude isn't about your circumstance. It's about God's character. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks in all circumstances. He didn't just say all circumstances. That would be crazy. Don't thank God for the storm. Thank him in the storm. Because that's where he's at with you. No, you would be crazy to thank God for the storm that's happening in your life. Nobody would do that. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to thank him because he's in the storm with me. He didn't start the storm, but he's in it with you. So back in Illinois, back home during the summer, we got a lot of bugs, mosquitoes and June bugs and just bugs, and they're buzzing all around. I mean, it's humid out there, and you're driving down the road, they're hitting the windshield, and all you hear is thud, thud. Sometimes it's more like thud, 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 because the bugs are everywhere. But after a while, those little splatters start to build up on the windshield, right? It suddenly becomes harder and harder to see them, to see through them. I had a guy, we used to drive all around Illinois, and he would be like, I'm like, how can you even see with all those bugs? He goes, I just see right through them. I don't even look at them. I look right past them. As you go without cleaning this windshield, the tougher it gets to see through the windshield. The windshield that was once clear now feels like dirty and distorted mess. And no matter how much I try to look past those bugs, the view ahead of me is blocked by these bugs' guts. The moment I pull over and do a little bit of work, clean the windshield, the road ahead becomes clear again. And I can drive again without these distracting bug guts all over my windshield. It's in the same with our thoughts. If we let the bugs, our worries, our fears, our insecurities, our negative thoughts pile up, like on that windshield, they start to obscure our vision, making it hard to see the path that God has set right in front of us. But when we take the time, when we do the work, when we read our Bibles, when we clean our minds with gratitude and prayer, things become clear again. And we can move forward with clarity and purpose. You can't stay stuck in worry and move forward in peace. You can't hold on to anxiety and walk in gratitude. You can't do both. One's going to win the battle. Your fear and anxiety and anxious thoughts are going to win the battle over what your gratitude life and your prayer life looks like. But when you start replacing anxiety with prayer and negativity with gratitude, everything will start to change. When we decide to stop tolerating, get this, we need to stop tolerating the bug splatters on the window. It's easy to tolerate them. In our mindset, we start replacing them with the clarity of hope. We make room for a fresh perspective. I wrote it like this: you can't change what you tolerate. I tolerate a lot of stuff in my life that's not from God. So what are you replacing today? Anxiety with prayer? Complaining with gratitude? Fear with trust? We need to make a habit of replacing what's breaking us with what's building us, and watch what God does. Let me say that again. Let's make a habit of replacing what's breaking us with what can build us. We need to build a thought life that reflects God's peace. Philippians 4:8, continue on. Paul lays out this blueprint of guarding our minds, one that leads to peace. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Paul tells us that our thoughts are not just random. Garbage in, garbage out. Our thoughts are the blueprints of our lives. If we want peace, we need to fill our minds with truth, righteousness, purity, beauty. What you focus on will shape what you experience. If you focus on negative things, you're going to get negative results. If you focus on good things are going to come from those thoughts. Now, we know the enemy is relentless, constantly knocking at our door, constantly speaking lies into our minds and trying to infiltrate those with the lies and the fears and the distractions that he has. But here's the key. Paul's instructions aren't these nice little thoughts. They're strategies. This whole thing is a strategy. We don't just suggest we think about what's loving and true just to make us feel good. He's giving us a filter to filter out the junk and let the life-giving truth of God take residence in our life. We're kicking the bad thoughts out, the ones that aren't paying any rent. We're kicking them out. Getting rid of the junk. So how do we do these things? We have to set mental guardrails in our lives. Not your guardrails, his guardrails. We've tried to put boundaries and guardrails in our life all around us to make things work, to fit us. But let me tell you, when God puts a guardrail in your life, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to go against everything that you thought was right. But it's going to be worth it. Why? Because we need to have a transform the renewing of our minds. That means out with the old behavior and the old thoughts and in with the new. I'm going to say it this way. In addiction, that's one of the number one things that we try to teach people. You have to replace a bad addiction with another addiction that's good. You have to replace that with a different thing. Whereas I might have once, we'll use food. I love food. That's my addiction today. I'm hungry right now. If I'm trying to lose weight by just dieting, I'm only hitting half the mark. Because if we're real with ourselves, when we want to lose weight, it's because we want to what? Be more healthy. Just by changing our diet doesn't make us more healthy. It'll help. But exercise will help. So you have to diet. So if you want to take food addiction out, I want to stop eating this much food, then that means I'm going to have to diet and replace that addiction with exercise, something that's good. So instead of eating, I'm going to go exercise, or I'm going to go on a walk, or I'm going to do something. Does that make sense? It takes work here. And we talked about last week the treacherous mountain road. If you don't have guardrails, one wrong turn can send you over the edge. Our thoughts are no different. If you don't set up boundaries, mental guardrails, you're at risk of spiraling into negativity, fear, and confusion. The enemy wants to keep you distracted and discouraged by this. Here's some little pointers. How do I make mental guardrails in my life? Journal. I know you all love to journal. Don't answer that because I don't want you to lie in church. Start writing down these anxieties, your worries, your fears, and then surrender them to God in prayer. Do you know what we've learned too? Is as we write things out, it comes from the mess that goes on up here. All of the voices and the noise and all of the lies. The moment you take them out of this chaos and you put them on paper, guess what they start doing? They start losing power over you. Because we listen to so many things and it's all intertwined together. The moment you say it or write it, it starts losing power. Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." What's that mean? Don't bottle your thoughts up. Release them. Let him transform them. We can't release them and transform them if we don't cast them on him. They're not doing any good up here. They got to come out of here into the light. Second one, you need to declare the truth. You need to speak scripture over your life. When the enemy whispers lies, counter them with God's truth. Jesus did it in the wilderness, and Jesus is our example. He says, "As it is written." You can do the same thing. When doubt rises in your life, here's what you declare. Romans 8:37 says, "I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me." That's what you declare over your life. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Not today, Satan. Get out of my head. I am loved, I am redeemed, I'm a child of God. Not today, I'm kicking you out. Sometimes we need to have some childlike faith. Here's the one you're really going to love. We need to limit the negative input. Be selective about what you consume. Why? Because Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Garbage in, garbage out. We want good in, good will come out. What are you filling your minds with? What shows are you watching? What food are you eating? What news are you consuming? What conversations are you having? Even our conversations with other people can distort what God wants to say. Through slander, through gossip, through belittling, through not speaking words of life. We talked about it last week. If you want to speak words of life into people, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. What are you filling your mind with? What relationships are you allowing to influence your life? Guard your heart and your mind, and don't let any negativity flood into those areas of your life. And here's one that has worked for me for so many things. Create a space for worship. Something, and sometimes the best way to resist your mind is to create an atmosphere of worship. And I'm telling you, singing songs isn't just about singing songs. It's a weapon. It is a weapon against the anxious thoughts. I love the song, Raise a Hallelujah. Raise a Hallelujah, it says. Why? Because here's the lyrics. It says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes and fights for me. Let that be your anthem when your anxiety is taking control. When the negative thoughts are flooding your minds and you're saying, what if this? What if that? I'm not going to amount to nothing. Raise a hallelujah. When you fill your space with worship music, you're inviting the presence of God into your life. And there's nothing that can stand against it. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. There's power in these guardrails that we set up around us. These mental guardrails serve as a weapon to take captive of all those thoughts, to handcuff them, to subdue them and push them away. In the same way, our mental guardrails are set in our lives by choosing to focus on truth and goodness and God's word. They're not there to restrict our freedom because we think the book is about a book about do's and don'ts. No, it's about life and freedom. We have to change our perspective on things. We got to get rid of the bad thoughts and think about the good thoughts. There are those, they're there to protect us. Guardrails aren't limiting your life. They're about freeing you to live a life. When we fill our minds with God's truth, we are empowered to live in peace, not fear or confusion. I want you to hear this. Guardrails don't just protect you from falling off the side of the road. They free you to live a life of confidence, knowing you're on the right path. They're not holding you back. They're setting you free. You can't live a peaceful life with chaotic mind. And you can't have peace without guardrails. So this peace isn't circumstantial, spiritual, supernatural. Paul doesn't promise that all circumstances will go away and change, but he does promise that peace will come in those situations. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace doesn't make sense to the world. Heck, it doesn't even make sense to us Christians. Sometimes. It's the kind of peace that lets us sleep in the storm. It's the kind of peace that lets you go to bed when things are rocky all around you. It's the kind of steadfastness that when everything else is shaking, you're not shaken. It's based on what's happening around you. It's based on who is within you. It's not around everything around you. It's who's in you. So let's set some guardrails this week. First, you need to know where you need guardrails. You need to make a list of areas in your life that you need to have guardrails in. And you need to be honest with yourself. This isn't going to work unless you're honest with yourself. Are those things drawing you closer to God or pulling you away from God? That's where you need to start. Second one, learn, practice, take every thought captive. Identify one negative thought pattern and replace it with God's promise and his word. Practice that gratitude. That should be a lifestyle. That is a lifestyle. Practice gratitude. Even when things around me aren't what I want them to be, I still thank God that I have a breath in my lung. Start each day writing three things that you're thankful for. Pray intentionally. Prayer is your number one. We talk about being an army of God. An army of disciple-making leaders that want to transform and change our communities. We are an army of God who fights our battles on our knees. It's the only way. We don't come in with all of this. We get on our knees and we pray, and that's how we fight our battles. Because everybody else says, the world says, do it this way. We come and bring it directly to the presence of God on our knees. That's how we fight our battles. And with a hallelujah. So we need to learn to start fixing our focus. Church, I need you to believe this. You don't have to live a life of mental chaos. You don't have to stay stuck in a cycle of worry, fear, or confusion. Today, God is giving you a strategy to take control of your thought life, to build mental guardrails that protect your peace and keep you on the course that he has set for you. But let me be real. This isn't going to happen by accident. It isn't just going to fall into your life and your mind is going to stop thinking all these things. It's going to take some work. Like I have to get out and scrub my window on my car, get all those bug splatters off. I don't know if you know how hard that is, but it's not easy. It is not easy to get the bug splatters off your window when they've been on there for a week. Just not. It's going to take some work. It takes action on our part. It takes intentionality. That's why Paul doesn't just say, think about these things. He's not saying just think about them. Oh, it sounds good. Yeah, I need some of that in my life. Yeah, I need some of that in my life. He says, put them into practice. This is a daily battle in church, but it's just one you're equipped to win. You're equipped to win these battles. When anxiety tries to down you, drown you, put you down, pray with boldness. When the lies of the enemy creep in, declare God's truth and authority over that situation. Why? Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives right inside of you. Declare God's truth with authority. When negativity tries to take you over, shift your perspective to gratitude. Fix your focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And He will guard your heart. We try to guard everything. It's not our job to guard. Our job is to help Him put guardrails up in our life and walk in them. We're like this. We walk that Christian life. We got this, you know, we want 1 foot over here, we want 1 foot over here. That's a slippery area. If you want to be all in over here, you need to have a guardrail on this side too. We like to play the balance beam. A little bit over here, a little bit over here. God wants to put a guardrail right down that line and get you on this side of it. When you guard your thoughts with God's word, your life will follow it. When you guard your thoughts with God's word, your life will follow. You'll walk with clarity instead of confusion, confidence instead of fear, peace instead of chaos. Who needs some peace in their life today? I do. So this week, church, take the challenge. Set some guardrails. Pray intentionally. Think intentionally. Live intentionally. And watch what God does when you surrender to Him. See what happens. You tried everything else, give Jesus a try. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the truth of Your word, for the guardrails that You've given us to protect our minds and lead us in peace. And right now we surrender our thoughts to You, our thought life to You. We lay down every anxious thought at Your feet, every fear, every lie that we've been believing. And we ask You today to renew our minds. Teach us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Help us replace worry with negativity, with gratitude. Negativity and gratitude, and Father, the lie with truth. Holy Spirit, we ask that You guide us as we fix our focus on what's true, what's noble, what's pure, and what's praiseworthy, as Your word says. Guard our hearts and our minds with the peace that only comes from You. We declare that we are not prisoners of our thoughts today, in the name of Jesus. But instead, we are children of You, standing on the promise of Your words. As we walk out of here today, give us the strength and the discipline to set the guardrails that we need to stay on course with You. Let our lives be a reflection of Your peace and Your power and Your presence. In Jesus' name, everyone said. If that's your prayer this morning, let's celebrate that. Come on. Celebrate with me. Clap your hands with me. When we celebrate those things, that power that is not of God starts losing its hold over us. They said gratitude, right? We need to be clapping and having gratitude for what God is going to do with expectation, even if He hasn't done it yet, with expectation that He's going to do what He says He does, right? Church, go out this week knowing this. You are not alone in the battle over your mind. God is with you. His word is your weapon. His peace is the guards every step of your life. And now let's live it out. Amen. Hey, if you're new with us today and you haven't filled out a card, please take that card, fill that thing out. Get it out to Vinette out in the hallway. We got a gift for you. But don't leave. Don't leave. Don't run out this door right now unless you absolutely have an appointment that you need to be in. There's something about community that happens. When we get together and break bread together and build relationships together. The evil thoughts and lies that we tell ourselves says that there's something more important. That's not true. Community is why God has built the church, so that we can have community and pray together and do community together. So please hang out with us afterwards. Let me pray with that. Jesus, thank you for everything. I pray that you bless the hands that prepared the meal. And Father, I pray that you bless all those calories to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll see you next week.